Hey, we've been talking about vision and receiving your vision, keeping your vision right, and some things, and we're going to continue that little direction here today. Here's what you have to understand in relationship to purpose, God's purpose for your life, and that is this. The enemy wants your godly vision, your godly purpose, derailed and ineffective. You know, nothing wants, the enemy wants more than anything for you to stumble, fall, and stay down. To be derailed. And he does it by several different ways. We're going to talk about that today. And some of the philosophies that we have to be prepared for in this world. Let's read Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. In other words, when there's no vision, no direction for tomorrow, how many of you know we can all get that from God? There is a reason that every one of us has been born. You're not by chance. God has a purpose for your life. All through your life. Can I tell you, we're never done running the race set out before us. The finish line is when we see him face to face. Amen? Glory to God. Every day count, Lord. Make every day count. Yeah. So it's important to do. Let's just pray right now. Lord, we just love you and thank you for your work, your word. And I just pray, God, you would help us today. Receive and hear. From you. May you stir our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. May you work supernaturally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, at the end of this service, I just want you to know I'm going to give an invitation for you to know the Lord if you don't know the Lord, an invitation for you to be prayed for and healed if you need to be healed, an invitation for you to for God to seal the vision, the purpose in your life. Maybe you need new direction. Maybe you need new purpose. Maybe you need to rediscover that. At the end of this, I'm going to invite you to come down, okay? Because God knows how to do it. He knows how to do it in our lives. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, it says this, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase vanities have what? No sense. I mean, you know, when you purpose in your heart to chase after God, his vision, his purpose for your life, God promises a few things to us, I mean, Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. How many of you like the life God gives us? Amen. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean there's no work involved. No, there's pursuit. There's labor. There's diligence. There's education. There's broadening yourself up to things of the Lord. Listen to this. In Jeremiah 23, it says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not do what the prophets are prophesying to you. How many of you know there are false messages that are trying to derail you from the purpose of God in your life? All right? Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you, for they fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? How many know everything God has for us is already the foundation for it is in his word. If you try to live outside the boundaries of his word, you're gonna get things. You're gonna reap things that are not beneficial to you. They are destructive to you. And the false prophets of the Old Testament led the children of Israel down into bondage, into captivity. And if you listen to false prophets, they will always lead you to a captivity of sorts. a bondage of sorts. False visions are not founded on God and His Word, the Scripture. They're not. So you and I have to understand something. There are voices in this world, false prophets, that want to derail the plan and purposes of God in your life. And you have to be aware of that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." God wants you to bear good fruit. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit, so we can have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Yes. Hallelujah. Love. You see, the truth of the matter is, in the Old Testament, false prophets were prolific. And it led the people of God into captivity. Listen to this. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2, "The idols speak deceitfully. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep, oppressed for a lack of a shepherd." You know, when Jesus marched into Jerusalem, he looked over Jerusalem and he said, and his heart was mourning because they were sheep without a shepherd. They had bought into things that weren't what God intended. They had made the law more important than their relationship with God. And it's very important that you balance those things appropriately. How many of you know there are some thou shalt nots? But that thou shalt nots flow out of a love relationship with God. Because when God says no, it is for my benefit and my freedom in Him. Amen? In Micah, listen to this. You see, the people's hearts were given to falsehood. And when people are given to falsehood and rebellion, they bring teachers that tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. Does that sound familiar? The same is true in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 2, verse 11. "If a liar and a deceiver comes and says, 'I will prophesy to you plenty of wine and beer,' and that would be just the prophet for this people." It's what they wanted to be, drunk. It's what they wanted to be. They wanted to be deceived. They wanted to be. That's why it's so important that you and I check our heart. That's why you and I allow the Word of God to penetrate our heart, mold our heart, fashion our heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 15, it says this, "For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as the angel of light." What's the enemy do? He masquerades as the angel of light. He wants you to think he's truth, but he's a lie. He wants you to think he's light, but he's darkness. He wants you to think that he's okay, but he's death. Deception. "It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." How many of you know, falsehood always will receive the judgment of God. There's no way around that. All right? So when people's hearts are set on rebellion, and then God sends them the word they want to hear. The word they want to hear. You see, the ultimate false prophet that's coming is the Antichrist. the Antichrist. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, it says this about the lawless one that is to come. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work, how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. The lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish, notice, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. How many know the truth will cost you something? And that's why people reject it. The truth will cost you something. For this reason, listen to this, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. How many know God called you to love righteousness? God called you to love holiness, to be holy before him. So how are you holy before him? Through his blood. Amen? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us holy. Amen? And everybody else say, and the grace of God, say it with me, and the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Amen? Glory to God. Why? Because there's something powerful about truth. Amen? See, the enemy knows that delusion can happen to anybody. It happened to David, a man whose heart was after God. That means it can happen to anybody. It happened to Peter. It happened to Judas, who walked with Jesus, how long? 3.5, 4 years? That means you and I have to be on guard. You can't just take it for granted. You have to be diligent about your spiritual welfare. Amen? Yeah. So the delusion in the Old Testament leads them to idolatry. The delusion leads them to breaking the commands of God. Breaking the commands of God is the fruit of rebellion. How many know you reap what you sow? You break the commands of God, and it's like this. Someone jumped off a cliff and said, look, I've defied the law of gravity. And they did until they hit the ground. And that's the law of God. You can say you break it. You can say it doesn't matter. But one day, when you stand before him, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah. So there are false visions, deceptive things that the enemy has said. I got four falsehoods the enemy is promulgating like never before in this generation in our lives. Ready? It's going to get real quiet. I'm telling you, it's going to get real quiet. All right? Listen, the first one is this. Avoid difficult paths. Avoid, that's false. Can I tell you, everything good and worthwhile in your life, you're going to have to fight for. You're going to have to, matter of fact, Jesus put it this way, in relationship to the kingdom of God, the violent take it by force. You got to pursue God. You got to leave some things behind. It's going to sacrifice a great deal for you to get to where God wants you to be. It's not going to come easy. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to have to put your hand to the plow and not look back. You're going to have to get off the couch and get up and start learning and start going and start doing for God. How can you say that, Pastor Larry? Because the scripture says this, faith without works is dead. And you're going to have to do something in relationship. The enemy wants you to avoid all pain. That means you better not ever get a part of a church because them church people will hurt you. Can I tell you that's true? But the church is the bride of Christ. The church is what Jesus is coming back for. The church is full of a lot of great people.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. You know how I can say that? Because you're here. And then the church is full of people. You know. Take an awful lot of grace to deal with them. That's okay. You see, you really don't know you got the goods until you have to practice the goods you claim to have. And we claim to have a lot of grace until somebody offends us. We talk grace in relationship to our own sin, but when somebody else sins against us, then we got to forgive them. You see, it's grace is cheap until you have to do it. It's not easy. The enemy wants you to live easy. Here's the, you know why? You know why? God, you take the easy path because God wants you to be happy. Nah. God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. Because no man can see the Lord without holiness. And he wants you to be with him all of eternity. And the only way you're going to be there is to be holy. Amen? To be holy before him. He wants, you know, just imagine the Apostle Paul. You know, let's just pretend he's been beaten 39 times, you know, the whip on his back 39 times. And he says, all right, I'm done. I'm not happy about this. And then he does it again. He's left for dead, stoned a couple of times. What's he do? He keeps going. Why? Because sometimes the Christian faith is hard. You're going to have to do things you never thought you were going to have to do. You're going to have to endure things you never thought you would have to endure. People will betray you and hurt you and wound you. I'm telling you, it is a difficult thing, but I'm going to tell you this. It is worth every step. Because in the midst of it all, he is forming you. He is making you. You see, when you believe the lie that I'm supposed to take the easy path, it leads to catering to the flesh. Can I tell you this? God made you a sexual being. I told you it's going to get quiet. How many know sex was God's idea? Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, it was God's idea. God made it. God made sex. He invented the whole idea. I want you to sink that in. God created you with a sexual desire. And those desires are set to honor you and others. Taken outside the paradigm of God's design, it doesn't honor, it wounds. Matter of fact, Paul will put it this way. He who sins sexually sins against himself. Sins against himself. Isn't that amazing? Pursuing sexual gratification for your own enjoyment ruins yourself. It's not meant for selfish purposes. It's meant for a union of husband and wife in the design of God's holy matrimony for fulfillment of the other. For fulfillment of the other. You see, God has given us this gift, and just like all other gifts, they have to be managed. They have to be stewarded over. In other words, I don't have free reign of that. I have to manage that. And here's the guilty that men play. If I can just get married, I won't have to worry about sex anymore. Lie. It doesn't work that way. You have to always steward your sexuality. Always. Amen? Listen. Adam and Eve were given dominion in the garden over God's creation. That's the word he uses, dominion. It means to rule over it, or it would rule over them. Can I tell you, if you don't rule over the things that God has given you, they will rule you. I can't tell you all the addictions that are alive and well because people have allowed things to rule their lives versus ruling over. God gives us the power through the Lord Jesus Christ to rule over. And in that, we have a great liberty and a freedom. Outside of that, you walk into the minefield of bondage. Bondage. You see, they were, Adam and Eve were God's representative to rule over God's creation. And in Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel, you know what happened to Cain, don't you? His sacrifice got rejected. Abel's got received. Cain got mad, killed his brother. It's a wild story, and it's the first offspring of Adam and Eve who sinned. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, "Then the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you will do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." You see, in the garden, they were called to rule over the garden. Now Cain's responsibility is to rule over sin, or it will rule him. It will rule him. That's why you and I have to manage, to steward areas of our lives. God has given you a responsibility to manage the desires he is giving you for your benefit and others. So we have to be good stewards. Amen? So, and that's going to be, you have to fight for purity. I'm going to say that again. You have to fight for purity in a polluted world. The second lie is this. You can always trust your feelings. You can always trust your feelings. Your feelings never lie to you. Can I tell you, you will have to let truth triumph over your feelings. Huh? When you stand in front of that mirror and you say, "Man, I am ugly," you're going to have to say back, "God created me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Glory to God. Before I was known in this world, he formed me in my mother's womb. He had a great design for my life." You see, I don't know about you, but my flesh wants to lie to me all the time about God's plan and purpose to me. You know? Sometimes I feel pretty dumb. How about you? Everybody's afraid to admit it. That even scares me more. Listen, sometimes you just have to know I have the mind of Christ. That God has given me a spiritual wisdom that most people in the world do not possess. I know a right from the wrong that the world just craves for. They just can't find it in the legislative purpose. We have it from the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, you're smarter than you can ever imagine because you know him who is from the end to beginnings. Amen? Yes. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Heart, in the Old Testament, is the seat of emotions. It's where emotions range from and come from. Can I tell you, your emotions will lie to you. Yeah, and the more you think about the lie, the more you'll think about the lie, and the more you think about the lie, and the more you know it, you believe the lie. Because you've concentrated, meditated, thought about, and confirmed in your own world that you are the lie. That's how your brain works. Sometimes you have to take authority with the truth over your emotions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by what I feel. Oh, don't get me wrong. God has given us emotions. And those emotions are rightly distributed upon our hearts and our lives, and they are to govern certain things. But listen to me. They are not to rule your life. They are the fruit of doing good. Do you hear me? They are the fruit of walking in relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Third lie. Your sexuality is fluid. Sex and gender are two different things. That's a lie of our age right now. You got to know that's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. You see, the world, here's the funny thing about it to me, is the world always wants to divide you up. The world wants to divide your private life from your public life, from your spiritual life and your political life. You know, you can't talk about politics in the church because, you know, politics, that's not a good thing because the world wants to keep Christians out of politics. It's amazing if you read church history and some of the people who fought in the first American Revolution, they were pastors who left their pulpit, picked up a gun, and went and fought for freedom. The world is always trying to divide you and segment you into different parts. And here it is again. Well, you might have been born this way, but in gender and in generality, you feel like, well, there's those feelings again. You feel like this. You might be born this way, but you might be more effeminate or more masculine or whatever. You just might feel. Can I tell you, that is a lie, a falsehood. We can't let the world divide us up like that. God came to save me. He came to make me whole. I'm not this and that. I am Larry. Saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And his truth matters. Huh? I was looking the other day. See, this is crazy. I won't even list them all. But I went to one website. They had 7 sexualities. What happened to boy and girl? Do you understand? 7 sexualities. Then I went to another site. They had 16. Oh, excuse me, 17. That's how crazy we're going to get. And we're not done yet of invention in relationship to human sexuality. And there is a proliferation of perversion coming. Because, listen, when the scripture talks about people who cast off all restraint in relationship to the things of God, can I tell you, you better steward what God has blessed you with. Amen. You got to manage what God blessed you with. Amen? Yeah. Listen to what this says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? What does he say? There are some people who do wrong that will not inherit what? And that means heaven, correct? All right. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters nor adulterers nor men who have sex with men. Nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That means that group of people right there who practice these things will not go to heaven. Can I say this right now? All of them can be forgiven. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He forgives from all sin. Hallelujah. And That is what some of you were. Do you hear that? In the church. Some of them were. All of that stuff we just mentioned. They were thieves. They were greedy. They were drunks. They were slanderers. They were swindlers. They were homosexual. They were doing dirty stuff in relationship to God. But God saved them. And you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Aren't you thankful for the work of God? Hallelujah. This is what I know. There is no one beyond the reach of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that wants to be saved. Here's the lie of the enemy. You've done too much to be saved. Here's the lie of the enemy. God will never save you because of what you've done. Praise God for the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the scripture declares he will forgive all your sins. All. Hallelujah. Amen. So, what's the first one? Take the easy path. What's the next one? You can trust your emotions. The next one is you're gender fluid. The next lie is people who don't agree with you are evil. People who don't agree with you are evil. Are evil. That's the lie. Can I tell you, people aren't evil. The devil is. Now listen, when people get possessed by the devil, they can be do evil things and become evil. But just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't make them evil. That's our problem in our political world. If you don't agree with me, you're a racist. You're evil. You're ugly. It doesn't matter. Anything you can do to stop the conversation, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's a lie. They may be deluded. They may be misled. They may be all kinds of things. But listen, don't treat people as evil. They need to be loved. See, this is what I know. False visions will deceive, will leave you divided. Will leave you divided from one another and in your heart, in your life. What am I going to be today? A Christian? Or, you know, I got to go to work. I can't talk about Jesus at work. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Don't be afraid to live out your faith. And this is what you ought to do. God, give me creative ways to love people and to help people about Jesus. You may not be able to stand in the corner and pass out tracts, but there are ways you can witness the love of Christ and what he's done in your life. Listen, this is what another thing. Falsehoods will leave you broken and in bondage in the end. Listen, people who believe the lie about human sexuality, it will leave them broken and in bondage. In bondage. See, I've met too many young men and too many old men who started looking at pornography when they were 10 and 13 years old. And the bondage that has ripped in their home, in their marriage, with their children. You better steward your sexuality or you will be in bondage to it. Yeah. Listen, what we have to do is don't give in to the deception of this age. You see, when I talk about homosexuality or lesbianism or whatever the alphabet is now, because there is a proliferation. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Do you understand that? And that's not going to change. But you and I have to be willing and able to address the issue in a loving and caring way. And the only way to do that is to know the truth. To know the truth, to study, to figure out how and why and all this. We have to have an answer with the truth and with love. Speak the truth in love is the command. Amen? Don't give in to the deception. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8, it says this, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." See, they believe the deception because it's what their flesh needs to hear, wants to hear, desires to hear. It's the hardness of their heart that wants, that has captivated this eye to rebel against God. It's amazing to me. When you read the Old Testament, you think, how could God do what he did in the Old Testament? He just went in and slaughtered everybody. Because this, the sin had reached its fulfillment. And God's mercy had ran out. You read Leviticus chapter 18 and you see what they were practicing. And God says for his people, don't do these things. Well, what were they? You need to read Leviticus 18. Incest, common. Homosexual, common. Lesbian, common. And God's judgment fell on them. Why? Because our heart had become deceived without God. Deceived without God. When we reject the rule of God, we'll accept the rule of anybody and anything. Hear about it. Listen to this. When we reject the morality of Christianity, we got to have more laws and 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 the proliferation of laws. Why? Because when morality is lost, laws got to triumph. And the further we get away from God as a nation, as a people, the more prolific sexual perversion is going to get, and the greater need for more or someone to rule over us. Sets it up for the Antichrist, if you don't know that. You and I live in an amazing time where we can be different, full of the Holy Spirit. We can be different. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Such teachings come from hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. We must understand that's pretty much the age we live in. What do we have to do? Keep our conscience soft toward the word of the Lord and toward the Spirit of the living God. Amen? You and I have to purpose like never before to follow the word of the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says this, learn scripture from reliable men. Don't build your life around people who call evil good and good evil. No, we're better than that. Honor the Lord with your life. Stand with me, would you? I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to read a scripture to you. And I want you to just think about the scripture right here as I read to you. In Psalm 24, verses 3 to 6, it says this, "Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swears by a false god." Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Lord knows how to clean hands and clean hearts. And then he goes on to say this, "They will receive the blessing from the Lord and the vindication from God, their Savior." Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then he says this, I love this verse because I believe in the midst of all of this onslaught of falsehood, God is raising up a generation that'll stand in truth and his word, a generation that will fight with love.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. God of Jacob. Thank God there's a generation coming who's going to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Who's going to be able to stand against, and forgive me of this word, the vomit of hell. And keep their lives pure, holy, and their hearts soft to the work of the Holy Spirit in an age of callousness, in an age where the conscience have been seared. Today, Lord, make me that person.